This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. All right, go ahead and chalk up another week in the American economy, huh? A little Bernanke, some news of banks, a couple of other things. Fodder, I would say, for 4.5 minutes of live radio to wrap things up with. Lee Gallagher is here from Fortune Magazine. Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville. Hey, guys.
Hi, Kai.
Cardiff? No? All right. Well, we'll go without Cardiff Garcia. Lee, I guess it's just you and me. So listen, let's talk.
All right,
we can do this. Well, let's talk banks, shall we? Let's talk J.P. Morgan Chase. Jamie Dimon reported earnings this quarter, this morning, $6.5 billion, even with rising interest rates. Can we say the banks are healthy?
Well, it's sort of a twofold story. I mean, J.P. Morgan's results were really strong.
I'm here.
Cardiff's here.
There he is.
All right. Well,
sorry, guys.
No worries. Thanks for coming to class. We appreciate it. So J.P. Morgan, we were talking about Cardiff and earnings. Lee, go ahead.
So they were strong. There are issues in the banking sector. You know, the quality of the earnings, as they say, is not as good as it would seem. Net interest income, which is what is the sort of like the crucial gauge of bank profitability, is on the decline. Loan balances are falling. But at J.P. Morgan, their balances are rising. So they're also focusing more on asset management and less on trading, which is what got everyone into so much trouble, but which was hugely profitable. So, you know, it does look pretty strong for J.P. Morgan today.
Cardiff, you agree J.P. Morgan is strong and thus banks are strong?
Yeah, I agree with that generally. And I think it's important to remember that J.P. Morgan's activities touch almost every part of the American economy.
Yeah.
So to the extent that the U.S. economy as a whole is doing pretty well or at least getting better, and it is, J.P. Morgan's going to make a lot of money. And, you know, from quarter to quarter, the specific activities that make it a lot of money will vary. But so long as it doesn't lose track of what one of its traders in London is doing, like with the whale trade, then, yeah they're going to make money.
All right. Senator Elizabeth Warren, the scourge of Wall Street, if you will, has come out this week and said she wants to reinstate Glass-Steagall. She's the bill that separated the two halves of the banking industry from each other. Cardiff, first of all, odds of that actually happening, and B, what would it actually mean, do you think?
Very, very long shot of it actually happening. I mean, this is I think, what you might refer to as gesture politics, as some people were labeling it earlier today. Here's the problem, is that the crisis that we just got out of was precipitated by banks that were separate from commercial banks. It was precipitated by investment banks. So I don't think there's going to be a very strong political push for this. I think this is a play by Elizabeth Warren to try and get people just to start talking about some of the things that banks get up to try and point out some of the riskier elements of banks, and to try to emphasize that there are some aspects of banking that are too important to Main Street to let Wall Street try to jeopardize. So I think it's a political play, but it might be a pretty effective one given her actual aims.
All right. Hey, Lee, so Ben Bernanke gave a speech, Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon after the close, in which he spent a lot of time sort of walking himself back. If you remember last time he had a press conference, the markets went bananas. And this time he specifically came out and said, you know what, calm down, everybody. We're going to keep rates as low as we can for as long as we can. The markets clearly now believe him, right? And they are confident in what the Fed is saying?
Yeah, and this is now, I mean, this market has a one-track mind. I mean, if you look historically, the Fed has come so far just in terms of using communication as almost policy. But it is like, you know, it's catnip. It's and everybody, you know, pick whatever analogy you want. The market's on steroids. It's going to be, you know, the whole scare was that it was going to be taken away from its methadone or whatever. It's on a sugar high, but they're all true. This is what the market is living and dying on. So it's not at all surprising that the rally that we saw.
All right. Hey, Cardiff, who do you like to succeed Mr. Bernanke? Assume he does not get reappointed. There's been some murmurings this week of Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, former key advisor to President Obama. Are you buying that at all?
I'm not buying that, not yet. I'm saying it's Janet Yellen. I think she's wonderfully qualified. She's the number two at the Fed. She's wonderfully qualified. And even more to the point, I think she's sort of in lockstep with Ben Bernanke. And right now, the last thing I think we want is a lot of disruption. I think Obama knows that. And she's, I think, still the preferred candidate.
Lee, let me get you on the record before we go.
I think she's it. I think the number two would probably be Alan Krueger, who isn't widely known. But, I mean, I think by all accounts it's going to be Yellen, but he would be my pick for the number two.
Yeah, Krueger just formally at the White House. All right, we got to go. Lee Gallagher from Fortune Magazine and Cardiff Garcia from FT Alphaville. See you guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Kai.
Kai.